Hey everyone, this is Lori Fetrick, and I have a special announcement right now, and that is this. So really pay attention if you can. And that is, if you go in and you rate and review my podcast, what I'm going to do is I am randomly going to choose one person per month. Yes, one person per month I'm going to grab, and I'm going to have you come on to my podcast, and we're going to do a rapid fire. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. It'll get some audience participation out there, and I want to give back. So this is me giving back to my audience. So please go rate, review my podcast, and I will pick at random one person per month to come on my podcast and do a rapid fire. So thank you so much, and go right now and rate and review.
We are chilling with Ice.
Oh, dude, we finally got Jeff's voice back.
What?
Right on.
Yeah, it's been a couple of episodes, I feel like. But wait, where are we, Lori?
We're in your new studio, Jeff.
Yeah.
My phone is cutting in and out.
Are we cutting in and out?
Can you guys hear me?
Oh, really?
Yeah,
we can hear you.
All right, so our guest is cutting in and out right now. So let's get him going. And let's just let my audience know what's happening here. Everyone, you are listening to Chilling with Ice, and I am your host, Lori Fetrick, and I'm so happy to have Leland B. Chapman on with me today, and he is a bounty hunter.
Woo!
And he's actually a reality television show bounty hunter from Dog the Bounty Hunter, which is your father. And I met you at the Comic-Con in Albuquerque, and I'm really excited to have you on. And I mean, I'll be honest, never met a bounty hunter before.
Right on. I never met American Gladiator before.
There you go. It's awesome. So Leland, tell me a little bit, man. It's like, I was so excited. I mean, it's like a bounty hunter. I mean, first and foremost, you grew up in this, right? You grew up in the environment being your father was a bounty hunter. I mean, and I read your bio. You had a little bit of trouble when you were a little kid, which I could relate to because I was a little hellion, And you went into the family business. That is the coolest thing in the world. But tell me a little bit about working with your family first. I mean, how did that actually even happen?
Well, that happened, I think, when I was about 12. Well, actually, I started bounty hunting with my father. I met him when I was about 5. He was in prison. He got out of prison. That's when I met him. And I would say probably by the time I was 7, 8 years old, I was knocking at doors dressed as a newspaper person. They would answer the door. I would ask for them, hand them just a piece of paper, whatever my dad gave me, step out of the way, and he would bust them.
Oh my God.
that's kind of how I grew up when I was living with my father. You know, he would take us all, and it wasn't just me. I had other brothers and sisters, and he would give everybody flashlights. We would surround the person. He would be like, "You're surrounded. Come out with your hands up." And then it was just us kids. You know what I mean? So he was smart, but you know, times have changed. You know, of course, I wouldn't do that with my kids nowadays. But you know, back then,
I know that's what I was gonna say. It's kind of like the person that's being surrounded by, let's say, 3 or 4, you know, 12 and 15-year-olds. I mean, what are they thinking? Like, is this a joke? You guys are like, well, you know,
by the time he would realize it, he was already in handcuffs.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That is so interesting. So you've been doing this since you were at a very young age. Yeah. And so I know because I know that you have your own business now. So you have your own business of bounty hunting. Can you actually tell my listeners, though, exactly what bounty hunting is? Because let's be real, all we see it is from the movies. You know, we don't even think that it's kind of like a real life thing.
Right. Not only am I a bounty hunter, but I'm also a licensed bondsman in several different states. And that goes hand in hand with a bounty hunter. You know, basically what happens is the bail bondsman posts the bond. Normally, 9 times out of 10, they're backed by an insurance company. They post the bond. If the defendant fails to appear, then the bail company is liable for that full bail amount. So that's when they'll try to find them first. If they can't, they will turn it over to a bounty hunter, and it's up to them to bring that person back so everybody doesn't lose out on the money. And the person who's guilty of the crimes, which he's already been accused of, you know, is not out on the loose committing other crimes to stay free. So a lot of times what I do nowadays is I work for the insurance companies. After the bail bondsman's, they can't find it, the insurance company will bring me in, and I'll go to different states or whatever, wherever they have problems. And I'll either have a group of guys with me, or I'll take some of their guys, and, you know, we'll start picking up warrants. Like, I just got back from Michigan. They had this one guy who beat up a couple police officers in Florida. He pretty much was raised in prison. I was surprised that anybody would ever get this guy out of jail. And everything on paper shows that he was still in Florida, but it didn't even show he was arrested in Michigan. And just so happened, I heard that he used a credit card or something up there, so I knew he was still up in the area. So I got all the way up there. It's on the very tip top of Michigan, Sheboygan. And he just previously got into two high-speed chase with the police. Not only the police, but the drug task force. He got away, took him on 15-mile thing, threw his dope before he pulled his car over, ran into the forest, and they couldn't get him. And he's a big boy. You know, it's not like he's fast or quick or anything. So we went over there, and, you know, he happened to live in a place where there's no local police. The only police are in the surrounding counties, which are 20 minutes to each direction, three of them. And so it was like no man's land. So, man, I was lucky enough to get him set up. You know, I knew kind of who he hung with and whatnot. We started watching a particular person. Sure enough, man, we nailed them right when they went into the gas station. So that was, I saved the lady her house. I saved the bail bondsman. He just passed away. You know what I mean? So he wouldn't have lost the money, but the company would have lost the money and his wife, you know. So I was able to get all, I saved them all of that. It was a large amount of money. So that's kind of like what I do nowadays. But in Hawaii, I still run, I have a successful bail bonds company. I opened my own, but yet when Beth passed away and my father moved, I took over the family business out there too. So I have my son working out there, and I have a couple agents. I have my son out here in Alabama working for me. I just opened up a company here, but it's still like, I've only opened it up for a week or so.
How old's your son?
I have two boys. They are, Dakota is 27, I believe.
Okay.
28 maybe.
Yeah.
And then my oldest, our youngest boy is 23.
Okay. So they're above the 15 range when you started.
Yeah, my daughter is 13. She lives in Florida.
So this career path sounds extremely exhilarating. And it sounds exciting. And is that why there's such a draw? Like, I mean, you went into the family business. Your sons are going into the family business. It sounds like, is this like this really exciting adrenaline rush type of job?
Yeah, not only that, but I think a lot of it is, you know, this is not a job where you work 9 to 5. It's pretty much a way of life. You know what I mean? If you do it, you know, your kids, everything, every day you're answering the phone, you're working, you got to go all of a sudden. So it becomes, you know, like a way of life. And I just think that them being raised into that and seeing that, you know, and then getting a taste of it, you know, because I gave them a little sample of it before they, you know, dove head first. So I think that all plays a role. What they do other jobs too, but they like what I do a lot better than, you know, what they do on the side.
So bounty hunting sounds extremely dangerous though. I mean, you're, you know, how many times have you been shot at, you know, throughout your career?
Well, thank God, none. But
really,
there's guns out. We come across people with guns all the time. Actually, I just had a close friend of mine. He had to shoot and kill somebody just recently on the job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's, and I've had friends that are close friends shot and killed, a couple of them that have been shot and killed. So it is definitely a dangerous job. But, you know, I always look at it like, you know, there's always more than one way to skin a cat. You know what I mean? If I know this guy is known for this, that, and the other, then of course I'm going to try to do what I can to locate him. And then, you know, have the police, the guys that are trained to deal with that kind of situation, you know, because I want to go home to my family. I don't, I know what I'm capable of. You know what I mean? I don't need to be, you know, anymore or prove anything to myself. So my job is to be successful any which way I can. If you know, there's times I have people located that the marshals were looking for. So I call them up, give them everything, let them do the arrest and take it over from that point. As long as they get arrested, that's all I care about. You know,
so you're playing smart. You're working smart.
I'm trying as smart as you can. But like I was going to say, there are times where no matter how smart you play it, you know, it's we're in very dangerous situations. You know, just like that, this guy who was known for, he's a very violent guy. I called the police for help. You know, and basically they were like, man, you're on your own. Good luck.
Wow.
And I just had me and two buddies with me. You know what I mean? And I'm like, man, this was a bad dude. You know what I mean? So I was like, man. And we got tasers and firearms and things like that. But nobody wants anything to come to that. You know what I mean? So we try to catch him with his hand in the cookie jar. You know what I mean? Catch him with his pants down. And that's basically what we did.
Have you ever been in a situation to where you actually were very actually scared?
Oh, all the time.
Really?
All the time. Yeah, there's all the time. Like almost every time. And anybody who tells you they're not, they're lying. Or they should retire. But I get in situations, you know. I go into people's homes of dudes that are, you know, this guy just tried to run over a police officer. I don't know what, you know what I mean? I'm in a home, all the lights are off. It's like that movie, you know, I'm trying to think of it.
We're all like, don't go in that room.
No, I'm trying
don't
to think
go upstairs.
Of the, like,
that's what they always do.
One house I actually went into, and it reminded me of, man, there's this movie Silence of the Lambs.
You know
what I mean? That movie where you go into the, and man, I went into this house one time. So me and my dad, this guy was wanted on a $600,000 bond. He was wanted by, I don't know, 80 something counts of, you know, child abuse and this, that, and the other. And they had like three counties of police officers. This is when I was young. I was young. I was probably like, I don't know, 17 or so. So me and my dad flew out from Hawaii to Colorado. And man, we came across this house and it looked like Fort Knox. All the windows were like covered with blankets and trash bags and blinds and whatnot. So, you know, they didn't want nobody to find their way in there. So, you know, after going around, I seen a slice of pizza on the window sill, and the window was open. So I took the screen off, I touched the pizza, and it was hot. So then I seen a shadow, which I swear it was the guy that I saw, take off running. So I tell my dad, I seen him. My dad says, go inside. So I open up the window, I go inside. And it is completely black and there's so much stuff. And it was like, these people were hoarders and it was like going into like this attic thing. And oh man, it was like freaky. And next thing you know, the lady had called the police saying that I had broke into her house. So all the police, you know, were looking for this guy. So they brought helicopters and everything. They searched the house 3 times with a canine and everything. They didn't find nothing. So all I did is I went up to the girl and I just was just making things up. And I had my phone and I was dialing. I said, yeah, I'm calling the prosecutor right now because, hey, you know what? We're going to take somebody to jail. And I found this note, and it was a note saying, hey, he wrote it saying, I can't believe you did this. I can't believe you did that, whatever. And I found it and I showed it to her and I said, well, this is how they're going to take you to jail. And she says, wait, wait, wait. And she points, and I moved a big old pile of laundry, and there was a trap door, and this was all in the newspaper and everything.
No way.
So I tell everybody, I got this guy. I got this guy. Oh, I seen lights coming from everywhere. Wham. So then what they did was they opened it up. They sent their dogs in. Oh, they started attacking him. They drug that boy out of there. And sure enough, they caught him, and they said, man, 3 times the dog missed him, but the the little puppy caught him on his first try.
Love
that was all in the, that was called Longmont's Most Wanted, I think it was. It was a big story in the paper. So
that is incredible. Yeah, you, I mean, you probably have so many stories. And then also, you guys actually did the whole tracking for, was it the Maybelline dude? Something about Max Factor. Max Factor.
So what we did was, we're the only non-law enforcement in history, we're in the Guinness Book of World Records, everything, to catch an FBI's top 10 most wanted fugitive. So that was me, my father, my uncle Youngblood. We caught him in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. We got locked up in Mexico, and we dug out of Mexico. We dug out.
Wait. What does that mean? You dug out of Mexico?
Well, we were supposed to check in every day. We were out on bail, posted bail. But see, here's how it goes in Mexico. If it has to be a dual illegality, that means it has to be illegal in America and Mexico to really make a difference, to be a felony, okay. Make a difference.
Right. Okay.
So in Mexico, if somebody walks up and punches you in the mouth and you grab that guy or some shit and you say, please, this guy just popped me in the mouth, right? You go to jail for deprivation of liberty because you cannot detain anybody in Mexico for any kind of reason whatsoever. So in America, we have citizens arrest. So they don't jive together, right?
Right.
So in Mexico, they were deciding on whether to charge us with kidnapping, a felony, or deprivation of liberty. So it lasted for, I don't know how long, weeks upon weeks. We were there for 6 or 7 weeks. And they decided on the misdemeanor. Because if you get a felony, you don't get a post bail.
Right.
You know, but a misdemeanor, you could post bail. So we posted bail $35,000. That's $350, or you know what I mean? Or right. $3,500. It was 10%. So we posted the bills. My dad posted a bill. We had a check-in every day. On one weekend, we just went all the way. It was July the 2nd, right before 4th of July. You know what I mean? Because we said, upon our lawyer's advice, you know, they can't come get you because it's not a crime in America. It's just a crime down here.
So right.
They're like, don't ever come back to Mexico. I said, I won't even go to Taco Bell, bro. I'm out of here. I boogied. We made it across the border, and then everything was great. Then a couple years later, after the show happened, we were filming. I get a call from Beth. It was like 6:30 in the morning. She's like, oh, your dad and Youngblood, or your dad and Youngblood just got arrested by the U.S. Marshals. I said, for what? You know, for kidnapping Mexico. I said, kidnapping? It wasn't kidnapping. So then, you know, I was like, man, they don't know where I live. Nobody knows where I live. So I drank coffee. I took a shower. I got ready. But I said, oh, they're going to find me. And sure enough, my dad ratted me out for a cigarette. came to my house. And see, my brother, everything was there. And this was the scary part. I had my dog, Shadow. I love my dog. So we seen them coming down the street. And they started surrounding my house. My brother hits the louvers because it's all the windows in Hawaii is all louvers. So he hits the window. So it slams, thinking, oh, you dumbass. So then they surround my house. My dog starts going crazy. They're about to shoot my dog. I'm freaking out. I open a door, and in walks my friend that I've known forever. And I'm thinking, hey, bro, what's up? I've known this guy forever. I had no idea he was a marshal. He's like, yeah, what's up, Leland? Sorry, bro. He takes off my belt, handcuffs me up. And I thought, man, I was telling him, yeah, I know you guys pinged my phone and shit, you know, because I just called my mama, told her what was going on. So I said, ah, that was pretty good. And they said, no. And they slid the door open. And my dad says, oh, I'm sorry, son. And he puts his head down. I said, oh, man, he just sold me out for a cigarette.
Cigarette.
So that's what he did, a cigarette. So then we went to court. I got an ankle monitor. I had to post bail again, $100,000.
Wow.
So we were filming with ankle monitors and things. And then the what had happened was America, they said Condoleezza Rice, the person at the time, traded us for 121 Felix Arellano cartel, low level offenders, but still, you know, they traded us for them. So that was the prisoner swap. And they upgraded our charge from deprivation of liberty to kidnapping so that they would have the right to come and bust this up like that.
See, that's so absolutely mind-blowing that you actually got a fugitive, but yet you were the one who wound up in jail.
So did he, though. He got 50 years, and it was worth it, you know.
But, okay, good.
But it all ended for me, believe it or not, because, man, they was coming after me. I bought a house, you know, put it in my name, and there was some money owed, and nobody else, so they come after me. Just 2 years ago, it ended to where I was able to, you know, my house, everything is secure and everything was taken care of. So that's been, you know, a legal nightmare.
So
he's been in prison this whole time. So I would, you know, mine's better, but.
So, I mean, obviously, as you go on this path, there are obviously learning lessons to where it's like, oh, maybe I won't go to Mexico again and grab this dude. Or does
it never?
Okay, that's what I was going to say. It's like, screw it. Mm-hmm. You know, you're on that side.
Unless it was something, unless it was my $1 million that my family would lose, then I would.
Right.
But I know different ways now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it that same particular, but you know, we weren't trying to take the guy to America. We were going to take him to jail. He's the FBI's most wanted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Anybody in America or anybody in the world, you know, could take him. So.
Right. That's insane. And I mean, bounty hunting is extremely, this is the other thing. It's extremely physical. So you have to constantly train and keep up your body and make sure that you're strong, you're fast, you can handle these guys, right?
Yeah, I do. Well, man, I tore my Achilles twice. I broke my leg, my other knee. So, it's rough. I've had, you know, sprayed ribs busted up, you know, but like I say, nowadays, I just tore my Achilles, but I try to, you know, I bring people that can do all that stuff, you know, but I'll get us to the guy. I'll figure out the best way to get him.
And then you send in other people.
But I do a lot of like, nowadays, you know, I'm busting people like, man, they had no idea. And they even tell me, man, that was a good one, Leland. Man, nobody could catch him. Like this guy, they were looking for him for 4 years. I spotted him. the only thing that I could see was he had these big old rolls on the back of his neck that I always seen in the picture, right? He came out to smoke a cigarette for just a second. And I seen that, and I saw that, and I was like, that's him for sure. So we went over there, and I seen one of the kids that I seen in the picture, so I knew 1,000% that was him. He was on the run for 4 years.
Wow.
And it took me only 2 days to catch him, so I was like, man, I got lucky on that one.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey there, do you ever feel like your social energy is on the verge of fizzling out, especially during those draining winter months? Trust me, I know. I've been there. Life's demands can keep us overwhelmed and exhausted, but it's so crucial to be recharged. If you're struggling, therapy can be the key. BetterHelp offers convenient online therapy tailored to your needs. Their licensed therapists can help you navigate when you're overwhelmed, set boundaries, and even beat those winter blues. If you're thinking of starting a therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out the quick questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Don't let burnout sneak up on you. Take charge of your well-being today and find your social sweet spot. Visit betterhelp.com/ice for 10% off on your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ice. Let's power you up together.
Yeah, but is it really luck? It sounds like you're skillful now. You've gotten older. You've learned ways. You've seen people's patterns.
Yeah. I've always been real skillful, and I've learned from, you know, some of the best. But I believe that it's always a little bit of luck. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
man, there's times I'll sit there and I'll be like, man, I'm trying to get somewhere and I lose something and I'm like, shit, I'm going to be late. I lost something. I can't believe it. I'm going to miss the guy. And all of a sudden I pull up and the person walks out right at that second. I was thinking, man, what perfect timing is that?
You know
what I mean? That's got to be luck. You know what I mean? That has nothing to do with skill, because that's just, you know, I think, man, I got lucky on that one.
Dude, how do you condense, I mean, all this kind of stuff that happens down into a television reality show? I mean, there's got to be a lot that's obviously left out. I mean, when you're going on the run, you're going on these bounties, and all of a sudden you have this television show that, what, you cram everything into, what, 30 minutes?
Well, some of them's 30 minutes and some of it is an hour, but that's why some people would be like, oh, your show's fake. No, you know, nothing was fake. You can't fake that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of times that people don't understand. We had 200 and something episodes of Dog the Bounty Hunter, but there's a lot of episodes that were lost on the cutting floor, on the editing floor, because they missed the shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you don't get the shot,
then
it's no good. One time, I'll tell you this story real quick. One time, I was responsible for taking over the bounty for the day. So I was leading the crew. And I had one guy, I had two people I needed to catch. One of them was at his baby's funeral. So I said, man, I can't arrest this dude. You know what I mean? He's at his baby's funeral, this, that. And then I had another guy who was in the military. I didn't know what he was in the military. I just knew he was in the military, got into some trouble one night, got arrested, and got bailed out. So I took the whole crew, the camera crew, everybody, over to Pearl Harbor. So I'm just looking for, man, I don't know my way around.
Yeah.
So I'm looking in a way. It's a gate. So I'm trying to wave at MPs, you know, they're waving back. I'm in a black SUV, whatever. So I said, oh, here's the address, and it ends up being a boat dock. So I went over the fence. It was real easy. There was no barbed wires, nothing. It was like, I didn't know it was part of the Pearl Harbor part. I didn't know that. So I went over, I let the guys in. they came in. I went on top of this boat. It was like Sonny Crockett's boat from Miami Vice, you know, only missing the alligator. So I arrested this dude I arrested this guy, but apparently he was some kind of ninja. Okay. So I arrested him. I'm taking him to jail. He's like, oh my God. Let me call my commanding officer. So I called this commanding officer. Man, before I could even get to the jail, the military channel owns A&E and Viacom owns them or whatever. Man, that military channel was calling up saying, what is going on? This guy just did that. This better not ever show the light of day all of these security breaches. And I was like, man, all I did was just walk right through there. You know what I mean? I didn't know it was a security breach. I didn't even know it was part of the...
Right.
Whatever. But he was definitely like a Rambo. You know what I mean? He was somebody like a Rambo.
Like a Rambo.
So that show never got showed. There was a lot, you know, that we arrested somebody and they missed it or they didn't catch it. And, you know, so there was a lot that they didn't show. So we probably would have had 300 or 400 episodes.
Wow, that many.
Yeah, we had 200 and something.
And you
and I Love Lucy only had 80.
Oh, I know.
87.
No, wait. Are you comparing Bounty Hunter to I Love Lucy now?
No, but I'm talking about for running for long.
Yeah, exactly.
Episodes, you know?
But you're saying, oh my God, that there's at least 100 episodes that didn't air because somebody missed, you know, the actual arrest, or they missed something, or that's insane. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. Jeff, have you ever thought about, you know, the whole bounty hunter kind of thing?
Not a whole lot.
It's really kind of crazy if you think about it, because so Leland, is there like, I mean, how many times do you run up against the government, like shutting something down? Like they shut that down, obviously, you know, but did you ever run up against anything to where the cops are like, no, you can't do this, or a marshal says you can't do that because, you know, you're not in the right territory? You know, that kind of bullshit kind of stuff?
Well, that happens all the time, pretty much. You know, like, man, it's just, you know, like, I was just in Florida not too long ago. So I got there, I check in with the police, told them, hey, you know, we're here to arrest this guy. He's got felony warrants that are extraditable. You guys can extradite him. Mm-hmm. We're just going to arrest him. So the cop, the sheriff, it's a lieutenant now. He tells me, if you do that, but I'm filming it, if you do that, I'm going to arrest you for kidnapping.
Why?
I just tell him, okay. So he wants me to wait for his deputies. So I have the law already printed out. You know what I mean? So his deputies get there. And I just tell him 45 minutes later, and my guy dug out already. You know what I mean?
Right.
He was gone. The truck left. But, you know, so I told the deputies, I said, sir, I could have grabbed the guy, but your lieutenant told me this. And I hear the law. Can you just show me what part of the law says that, you know, that I'm missing? And they said, well, you know, he's just new and he just didn't want the, you know, the liability, this, that, and the other. So, you know, sometimes, and you could go against that and take your chances, which some people will, but I just choose not to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We got our guy
right
another day,
right?
You know, 5 days later, and I got poison ivy, but other than that, you know, But other than that,
speaking of Florida, have you ever found yourself like going through the swamps trying to find somebody?
Well, this last time I was sitting there and I'm thinking, well, I was going to go, you know, I was trying to figure out about the guy. I was doing something over there. So I waited till about 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. So I go there, and this is out in the, like, countryside of Florida, if you call it whatever. Yeah. It seemed like the country. So it was a big horse. The lady had a horse ranch. It was probably 10 acres. So I was there setting up everything. And all of a sudden, it's about 1 o'clock in the morning, I see her truck pull up. So I, bam, I dive in the bush, you know. So I'm all covered and everything. And I wasn't really thinking about poison ivy or nothing. I was thinking about snakes, you know.
And
thinking,
gators.
Man, I know this place. Well,
could pop out anywhere.
I wasn't that far yet, yeah. But I'm thinking, man, I know they got all kinds of stuff over here. And the lady, she stood out there all paranoid, spotlighted the whole place like she felt that I was there or something, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was like, man, what is she doing? I had to stay out there for 3.5 hours. So I was like, oh, man. So finally I got up, I ran to my car, and I was covered all the way. But then I'm thinking, that's when I first thought, what about poison ivy? And I said, nah, I'm covered. I should be good to go. Like a day or so later, I'm thinking, man, if I had poison ivy, I would already have it.
Oh, yeah.
And then like the next day, this whole side of my face started busting up with poison ivy. And then that stuff went into my blood system.
Oh.
And I got all jacked up from it. Oh. It was terrible. I'm allergic to it.
Oh, my God. Thank God I've never, ever had poison ivy. But it does not sound fun whatsoever.
It hurts. Well, I've had poison ivy. It hurts.
It hurts?
Yeah. At least whenever I got it
itch?
Hurts. Yeah, I mean, it itches, but the more you itch, the worse it gets. Was that your experience, Leland? Whenever you got, I mean,
yeah,
obviously you got over.
I just was miserable. I was just itching and burning, and it's just, man, my friends were like, you got to shower with bleach. I had whole bleach bottles pouring over me.
Oh.
Man, nothing.
Are you talking bleach, bleach? Bleach?
Bleach, like you wash your clothes with bleach.
What does that do to the poison ivy?
Just dry it out, they said. But it didn't work.
I was going to say.
I had to get 4 different shots. Finally.
Oh, my God.
No, I had it for like 6 or 8 weeks.
Oh, shit. Wow.
Oh, damn. I only had mine for like 3-4 days.
Wow. You were allergic to it, man.
Man.
It got you.
I was. Yep.
Okay. So not only are you like dealing with dangerous people, you're dealing with elements. You're dealing with like outside elements, you know, whether it be hot as hell, you know, muggy, snakes, poison ivy. I mean, besides the poison ivy, has there ever been like the elements to where you're outside and it's like hotter than shit and you're just sweating your ass, dying, waiting for someone? That's what I picture anyway.
It's been cold because I've been in Michigan.
Oh.
It's been cold. Man, we're up and it's freezing cold. It ain't just cold. It is just, man, who can stand this kind of cold?
Yeah.
That's how cold it is, cold.
And you're outside and you're waiting for people. And sometimes you have to wait for hours, right?
This is what happened one time. I was sitting there and I wore gloves and everything. I was all bundled up and I took this minivan for the first time. I borrowed my friend's minivan. And I got out of the car and I was trying to shut everything quietly and I shut my thumb in the door. Boom. And I mean, I shut it super in the door. It wasn't like, man, it was in the door. It was like, I have to reopen this sucker, pull my thumb out.
Oh my God. Everybody's
already surrounded around the house. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is going to kill me. I have to go knock on the door. It's freezing cold. I'm thinking, man, I hope this. I said, lady answers the door. I'm like, is so-and-so here? She's like, no, I ain't seen him. I'm like, all right, thanks. Boom. I just went back. I didn't ask him no other questions. No, I didn't care if he was in the back room or what. Man, I was.
You're like, I'm out. Peace out, man. Shut my thumb in. It's freezing. I'm done.
I'm in pain.
Eating properly. I'm like, man, this sucks.
See, and that's the other thing. You have to make sure that you have food in your system in order to have the energy.
The last 2 times I went to Michigan, okay, I will tell you, I got hospital almost bound food poison.
Oh.
Once in Flint, Michigan, once in Saginaw, Michigan. I ordered food, of course, because I'm working late. And if you don't order anything in Michigan, then you don't get no food. So, man, I swung by these two places. Boy, I got so sick. Like, man, I said, from now on, I'll go without. I'll eat snow before I eat anything out of here like that again.
That's insane.
So, yeah, that sucks.
It sounds like your life is very exciting, you know?
Yeah, it can get.
I mean, do you have downtime?
Right now, I'm out of downtime.
Okay,
like,
so
I just got back from Michigan. So I'm doing this. And then in a couple of days, I'm going to go help a friend with some kind of music video he wants to shoot.
So how often, I mean, is it just they'll contact you when they need you kind of thing?
Yep. Well, I'm still working on some right now. I got two new cases, but I'm having some buddies pick them up. And so I don't have to go out there. I'll just take less of the money, give them more of it.
Okay. So I don't mean to get personal. There you go. Personal. But is bounty hunting lucrative? I mean, is this like you can make a serious, great living, or is it just kind of like,
Well, it used to be kind of, but, and now there's everybody done quit. So there's not too many left because you have to be successful. So if you can learn to be an successful bounty hunter, then yeah, it could be lucrative. Like, I don't sit there and just say, well, you know, I'm going to just live off of bounty hunting. I do bounty hunting. I also do bail bonds. I also do, you know, all this extra meet and greet things and whatnot, mm-hmm. you know, but it definitely, you know, can be lucrative if, you know, you do it right. You know, but it depends. Like, if you spend all your money and your time trying and then you catch the guy, shit, it ain't nothing. But
right.
if you can just nail that sucker and do something that nobody else can do and just, man, then yeah, it's lucrative. Like, I just went up to Michigan. I spent 13 days. I got 9 people in custody. There's been times I went up there. I was a 12 days, got 12 people in custody. There's times I go up there, I get 5 or 6.
So when you captured somebody, let's say in your camera crew, were they surprised when they saw the camera crew, or they were like, what the fuck is this? What are all the cameras on me for? Did anybody ever do that? Somebody had to have done that out over 300 episodes.
Well, our show got pretty popular. You know, it was number one. So, man, we were pretty popular. You know,
so when they actually got
arrest somebody,
they were not.
And the whole neighborhood would come outside. Yeah, you know, take pictures. And,
oh, that's cool.
You know, I still go arrest people, and man, I take pictures with their family members. You know,
it's like smile.
Yeah, whenever you're capturing somebody, they're watching the show as you're capturing them in real life.
That actually happened.
No way.
And it was on TV that I was climbing, and we were filming the show, and I was crawling along the back lanai, and I seen they were watching Dog the Bounty Hunter.
That
and a lot
is
of people
so awesome.
That we used to catch back then said, oh, we were watching. Even people I catch now, this one guy, he thought I was looking for him for 5 months, and I wasn't. But he's like, I was watching all your social media and stuff. So I always post things, you know, differently. You know, sometimes
right.
I'm here, sometimes I'm there, you know.
Kind of throw them off track so cool. a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get your autograph as you're like,
can you
him down and the
I
dogs
know, right?
are coming?
You got him on the ground. He's like, can I have a selfie with you?
Yeah, no, this
hold on, my phone's
like, hey,
over
man.
There on the desk.
He was pretty big and scary. And I went into his house. He was getting ready to hit the ice pipe. He's a big boy. And he said, man, what's your name? I said, Leland. He's like, oh, man, that's what I thought.
Right on. Nice.
So, but, you know, I would rather have that anyway. You know, I'm 47 years old already. So,
yeah, you're like, let's make this easy. You know, mm-hmm. So any future plans for another reality show?
Man, I got a couple of little things in the works right now, so I'm just keeping my fingers crossed.
Good, you know, good for you.
Good.
That's pretty damn exciting.
You never know. Mm-hmm.
You lead,
but it's something I've tried for a long time. But with a lot of elements in that, the way the world has changed, a lot of that has been, it got put on the back burners and things like that.
Tell me just a brief little snippet about what you mean by the world has changed and therefore you can't do it.
Well, like when they had at the time, now everything is changing. But when I've been trying to get a TV show for a while, but of course they had the George Floyd and they canceled all the police shows and everybody, you know, you go to Hollywood with somebody going to jail. You know, they're just like, well, you know,
yeah,
it's different.
Yeah.
You know? So,
yeah.
But, you know, our show was the only show that never got canceled, never got taken off the air.
Right.
You know, we're different. We try to do it from a different aspect.
Right.
I'm not charging these people with crimes. It's something that they've already had to pay the piper for. You know
right.
what I mean? I'm just trying to save people from new loss and new, you know, new crimes.
Right, exactly. So, put him behind bars.
You know, it's kind of like being an officer of the court, sort of, kind of.
That's pretty amazing that you can catch these guys and our own law enforcement can't.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say can't, but it's the same problems with the local law enforcement. Like, I go all over the country, and it's the same problems that they have. It's like the world has changed. Nobody wants liability and shit for that. Hey, man, they're not even sure what we can and cannot do.
Yeah.
You know, they're a new officer. They don't know. Man, they're not sure. They've never dealt with this before. What are you talking about?
See, that's sad.
You can't do that.
They put the fear. Know? They put the fear in them to where they can't even, like, arrest someone anymore.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I was in Traverse City, Michigan, and I told the people, hey, I'm here to do this. The lieutenant, I says, I need help. He said, do you know who you're after? And this was another crazy guy. And I said, yeah. I absolutely do. I see exactly. He goes, I just want to let you know, I guess you're going to be working under the citizen's arrest law. I said, yeah. And he says, well, I'm just letting you know, I'm going to hold you personally responsible for anything that happens. Because every time this guy would boogie from the cops, but I waited for the right time. He tried to boogie from us, but we outran him and caught the guy. You know what I mean? And man, when we called the police to come get, nobody wanted to help me.
Wow.
Nobody. I couldn't get, the state police did.
Wow.
But what they did is they accidentally pulled in front of my guy's house. And they're like, hey, man, we're here, Leland down there. I said, man, you guys are right in front of his house. So they said, if he leaves, we'll pull him over. But we're not into hitting people's houses.
That's insane.
Wow. You know,
the guy came out to light a cigarette. We seen him. He's a big old boy, so I thought for sure. And see, he outran me. But one of my guys, who's this special forces guy, he chased him down. But, man, he jumped in the air, and he was running down this hill like it was the woods. And he was tumbling and falling and getting up and jumping. I was like, oh, hell no, I ain't doing that. You know what I mean? I'm like, nah. No way, Jose.
You're like, I gotta get paid enough to do this shit.
I was like walking back to the car. You know, I've been hurt so many times and shit. Now, granted, if it's something, you know, serious or something, and this is my only opportunity, but I'm thinking, nah, we're still going to catch his ass because, you know, he had nowhere to go. So my buddy, I was just trying to make my way back up to the car. But my buddy, he chased him down, caught him at Wendy's. They called the police. I called him. I said, yeah, I got this dude in custody. All of a sudden, I see a whole sea of police cars. I was like 30 of them. I was like, wow. They said, but not one when I told them, I need help.
They're like, you know, nah. They're like, nah. You're on your own, dude.
So, you got this.
That's pretty fascinating.
But is it lucrative? I got stories like this that'll last a lifetime.
Oh my God, that's so amazing. And that's
I drive a regular car.
And you know what's so funny is you go, when I said, Leland, oh my God, I want you on my podcast. You're like, what are we going to talk about? And I'm like, are you kidding me? You've got like hundreds of stories that people are fascinated, because if you think about this, we don't get to know what really happens behind the scenes. We only see what happens on television. So we don't know really what's going on. Like, I mean, it's fascinating to me that, like, you might have him let's say a prospect, and you go, eh, I know I'll catch him in the next day or two. You know, I'm not going to risk my life or my, you know, my knee or my limb or something, you know, to get him right now.
Well, like I said, a lot of things have changed in the world, and you know, whether it's from the police to the criminal to the bounty hunter, you know, everybody has recognized that change. So,
and it doesn't sound like it's, you know, for the good.
Well, you know, the good old days, that's why they say it's the good old days.
Yes.
Them are gone.
Yes, the good old days.
Not good, but the good old days, you know, are not here no more.
That's kind of sad. And yet it's still as dangerous as hell out there, you know?
It's more dangerous now. Yeah, because now it's like, man, everybody just disrespects and just hates the police and get out of here, get off of this, you know, man. And it's little kids. I had, you know, this little kid, I was in Miami, you know, we were in the hood, but we were in Miami, and this man, he's probably like 12, maybe, if not, you know, younger, stuck his head right in a car, man. F the police, he said. I was like, what?
Wow. Leland, thank you so much. I'm going to cut you loose. And I know I'll see you again, because I know that our paths are going to cross again. So thank you so much for being on Chilling with Ice today.
Cool.
You're welcome.
All awesome. Right, Leland.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye. Right. Thank you so much for listening to Chilling with Ice. And don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe, and share wherever you listen to your podcast. Remember to follow us on Patreon and YouTube at Chilling with Ice. And on Instagram and TikTok, you can follow me at lori.ice.fetrick. I look forward to chilling with you next time here on Chilling with Ice.